I really believe that God brings teachings and understanding throughout history to update or maybe upgrade our thoughts. I think like Martin Luther, when he started his whole realm of justified by faith, it was a realm that started making people think differently. And you know, the prophetic word today really said, hey, you know what? You're in darkness, but there's a light. And if there's a light, then I'm going to go to that light, because if you're in complete darkness, then you're always going to go to the light. And sometimes, maybe individually, we have the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives, but then we're supposed to be lights to other places that are dark, right? And that is really why Jesus said, go to all of the world and preach the light, and they will come out of darkness into my light. Amen? And so then they begin to light up. And I like the world, like there's a screen that has no light on it, and all of a sudden there's one light, and then there's two lights, then there's three lights, and then there's another light over in Russia, and then there's another light over in Japan, and there's another light over, and pretty soon there's lights all over the place. And so people that are in darkness do not need to stay in darkness because they have the light. Amen? That you start showing them the light and the light that you have on the inside of you. Statistically, they say that after 5 years of Christians giving their heart to Christ and going to church and being a faithful whatever, that they kind of have come to a mature state, and so they're in this mature state, but it's like they can't go on because they know enough, they've heard preaching for 5 years, they did all of that, and now they're here, and they say, well, we heard that sermon on the TV or last month or last year, and so they don't go any further into the move that God prepared them to go. You know, I mean, after 5 years, if you're not ready to do something, then you're a little bit in trouble anyway. And so after these 5 years, people just drop out of the church. It would be like you going to 5 years of college after high school, going to 5 years of college to establish a thought of what you're going to do the rest of your life. And so you went through those 5 years, and then you said, well, I got that, and you left it, and you never went into the profession that you were taught to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, maybe no one ever's done that. But I think in the church, and statistically, it's saying that that's what goes on. And I really believe that the prophetic portion of what God places, it says, I mean, the Bible tells us that first the apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. That's a thought in a school of ministry. If you think about it, Jesus was the first apostle, or maybe let's say God was the first apostle sending Jesus to earth. All right? Up to that time, he was putting out a type and a shadow saying, there's someone coming, there's someone coming, there's someone coming. It's like a messenger, which is, that's what a prophet is. He has a message to, in fact, this is what I seen when I was over here worshiping. I seen a big pile of gold. And this gold was, I mean, it was pretty cool, except it got dust all over the gold. And so it was dusty, and it didn't seem like, you know, it was worth as much. And then I seen a wind just come along and blow the dust off the gold. And boy, that gold looked a whole lot better after the wind had come. And I really believe that God is setting up a prophetic time to blow off the dust that is on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's gold. It's gold. It's frankincense. It's myrrh. It's everything that you need and want to fulfill your life where you're walking right now. And I feel something. I know revival is happening on the earth. And you know, you can have the gainsayers saying, oh, you know, nothing's going on. Yes, everything is going on. There's revival on the earth. The Word of God is beginning to take over people's lives. Countries are being changed because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you got up and you said that every morning, do you think that would stir you? Instead of getting up and saying, what's for breakfast? Or maybe you'd direct it to your family, because you won't save something that you don't love. Right? You will not save something that you don't love. So where are you in love with? And I even think that the upgrade is, if you can't love yourself, how can you love a lost and dying world? Right? And I think there's a lack of love on the earth, because what's happened is that we haven't been able to upgrade into the call of God that is on our life in a prophetic sense. And God continues to prophesy the good things of God over our lives. That's what the New Testament was all about. It was about the goodness of God that can change us and rearrange us so that we can speak positive things over our personal lives and over the lives of others. Amen? Now, I think the faith movement, when the faith movement back in the 80s, if anyone understands what the faith movement was, it was about faith. I'm going to have faith in God. And then they'd always say this, okay, if you're sick, don't say you're sick. If you're poor, don't say you're poor. You know, the language was to change your language so it would change your mindset so that you'd start doing something that was positive for your life. All right? And so it was really, it was a spirit of prophecy. The faith movement was a spirit of prophecy to bring us out of darkness more, and go into greater light. Amen? And then we had the grace movement. God's grace could cover about anything. They probably went, or at least some people went too far on the grace area, because God has, he's building doctrinally out of Hebrews 6, he's got foundations. And it's the doctrines of Christ. Sometimes people say, well, what's your doctrine? Well, Hebrews 6. And you can go through the six foundational stones, and then it said that if you go through all of them, then you could go even further if the Lord will allow it. All right? And these things stir me, because the last one is the resurrection of the dead. How many people are interested in the resurrection of the dead? You get up in the morning and say, hey, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. You know, when I do that, it is actually a testimony of prophecy. And so anytime I speak something, if I pray for something, it's a testimony of prophecy. You say, well, am I prophesying? Yes, you are. Because over in Revelations 19:10, it tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we start talking about Jesus, we're actually prophesying of the goodness of God that has come through the redemptive work on the cross by Jesus. I mean, that's exciting. I mean, anytime we speak, anytime we pray, when you pray over your kids and you say in the name of Jesus, you're prophesying something into that child that is going to change their lives forever. You see, it's not only the logos, which is the written word, the Bible, the logos is the written word, it's the rhema word. When you speak the rhema word, when you begin to speak words of life over life, things begin to change. Now, if you did it one time after you're graduating, after your five-year degree, and you didn't think you were so mature that you knew everything, you actually went out and got a job, and you started applying all the things that you learned through those 5 years, I think the church attendance would go up, and people that are called by God prophetically would begin to step into their prophetic calling. Does that make sense? And I really believe that God is bringing us back to some foundation that's saying, when God speaks prophetic words over you, it's just really the Spirit of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is just talking about Jesus and how good he is and what he can do. You know, if you took a season of time, and I believe this, if you gave me five people that were unsaved for 1 week, I believe after 1 week they would be completely changed by the spirit of prophecy. Does that make some sense? Five people, I don't care what race they're, I don't care where they come from, but if you spent 1 week with them and you poured into them the truth about the gospel, their lives would be changed forever. But it takes that 1 week, and then it takes the upgrade, the rhema word, the spoken word. Now we're going to pray over you. Now we're going to believe. You know, when I got saved, I gave my life to Christ at a Low Lundstrom meeting 30 too many years ago. And when I did, something happened that was significantly just impactful on my life. My wife, she couldn't believe it. I had to prove it to her for 6 months, you know, saying, man, did he really change? Could this be possible? But the fact is, Christ changed me, and the more I talked about the Lord, the more I changed. And the more I went to church and I heard people prophesying, really, you know, Jesus is the spirit, you know, the name of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, they begin to speak into my life. And I found out even boring people that would get up and teach, if I was attentive, if I stuck with it, it changed me. One time, Sandra and myself, we were very sick, flu-wise. I mean, it was ugly. And, you know, it was a Friday, and we were having these meetings. It started Friday. We couldn't make it because we were sick. But then after, you know, I was about six months old in the Lord. And I told Sandy, you know, remember, if we would go there, maybe we'd get healed. And so we got up, and we took showers, and we were still, you know, you should have stayed home, probably. But the fact is, we got there, and the guy was a dud, as far as I was concerned. He wasn't exciting. He was, you know, he was teaching and doing this, and I'm going, and you know, you still got the sweat coming off you from the flu and different things like that. But I stuck in there, and Sandra stuck in there. It was at Christian Fellowship down in Detroit Lakes. And we stuck in there, and pretty soon the things he was saying was making some sense. And it was about, you know, hour and a half that he went on. But you know, after that hour and a half, completely healed. You see, there was the spirit of the prophetic. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you start talking about Jesus, when you start talking about this, that, and the other. And it wasn't about healing that they were preaching on, but I got healed. And you see, that's the rhema word of God. That's when you get done with all of the teaching, all of the understanding. When you get your five-year degree picking up, then you get a job after that. Amen? And I believe that God is going to employ the body of Christ like we've never seen it before. I believe the prophetic word that God is speaking on the earth is going to change all of us if we will embrace from 5 year to the sixth year, from 2018 to 2019. If you took the time and effort and prayed the prophetic words and just talking to Jesus. You know, reading Bible is good, and studying is good, but when you begin to speak it forth over your life, over other people's lives, it begins to change. If you will not speak the very things that you were taught for 5 years over your own life, then how are you going to change? So you're mature in the logos, you're mature in the word, but the rhema word needs to take over. The utterance of God. When God begins to speak things and it starts happening, you know, Yesterday, we were in prayer meeting here at the church, and I had to leave for a certain amount of time, and it closed up, and Pastor Jim was standing over by the refrigerator, and it was something on my mind when we were praying that I needed to pray for him. How are you feeling, buddy? Better? All right. Well, he'd been battling sickness for a long length of time. And you know what? The Lord spoke to me to pray for him. And so after the prayer meeting, it just went back again. You're supposed to pray for Jim. So I went over and I prayed for him in obedience. But when I laid my hand on him, there was a fever that was on him. And you know, we were just talking, well, maybe it's our age. Maybe it's just a... I said, no, this is a fever. And you know what? A person began to pray against that fever. We began to attack that fever. And I believe that that's how we are picking up the Rhema word. Now, I could have said, well, you know, the Bible says that you're healed and you're whole, so that's good enough. You're healed and you're whole. Go for it. But when you pick up Rhema words about you're supposed to go over and pray for that person that has an illness and he'll be healed or she'll be healed. That is the Rhema word. You're actually applying all the things that you've learned to the society that you're living in. The light comes on. There's another light on the big blackboard. There's a light here. There's a light here. There's a light here. You go into darkness, you place a light in there. And that's very encouraging, and that's upgrade. You know, we've been talking about game changing. Okay, well, the faith movement was a game changer. Grace movement was a game changer. Persecution movement, you know, that was you're going to be persecuted for the gospel's sake. That's an upgrade. So, you know, it's not all, you know, flowers every night. You have to go through a persecution. You have to pay the price because the enemy is going to come against you because he wants to keep it dark. He wants to take out the light. And in this world that we live in right now, I tell you what, the darkness is so dark. But if you dare to believe that the light and tell the truth, you know, heaven, hell, tell the truth. You know, well, no one wants to hear about hell. That's not an upgrade. But hell is a reality, right? Do you want to hear about hell? Hell and brimstone? I want out, you know. Turn or burn? No one really wants to hear about that, but it's the truth. But first and foremost, it's God's love. If you don't love something, you'll never be able to save it. If you don't love yourself enough to get into what God has for you and believe that you can move prophetically, you can move in the gifts of the Spirit, you can move in the Bible the way Jesus moved, his disciples moved. When you start believing that and start doing it, it is the Rhema word that's going to change your life forever. You won't say, I have to go on a mission field. You'd be looking for a mission field to go on. And it might be at your, it might be at the job that you're at. It might be in the simple things of everyday living. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, the world's being taken over by so many different kingdoms that the kingdom of God doesn't shine as a bright light like it should shine. Right? Or am I just blowing smoke? Hell, okay. Thank you for the encouragement. Okay, 2 Corinthians says, believe in the Lord, your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. All right? What did Jesus do when Mary was talking about some of the things that the anointing in Isaiah really was the spirit of prophecy? He was prophesying. Of course, Isaiah could do that because he was a prophet, Isaiah the prophet. You know, it said it in the Bible, that's a prophet. But what about you? And if you'd take the same word as Mary took that word today and she began to prophesy it over us, it's the Rhema word of God that changes. When Jeff began to prophesy, he prophesied nothing but the word of God. Now, it was in, You know, like if you go to New York, you're going to have a different style in your prophetic. You probably have that the accent and everything else. But if it's lifting up God, and if it's pertaining to the Word of God, it's a prophetic word to bring you out of darkness into His glorious light. How many times have people prophesied and you go, oh, here they go again? And I say that to myself because I do it. You know, I understand that. I do that. Oh, here we go again. And what's that voice? I mean, that's, you know what it is. It's the logos. You know the word. You got all that stuff down. You read the word. You did your daily readings. You did all of that, except when the word comes and the prophetic word is life-changing, you're sitting there and going, this could be life-changing. But you just go, yeah, but it's that person or that person or that person. It happened to Jesus. He said he could not do any great works in his own home area because of unbelief. And so with all of our teachings that we've received from this five-year college of the prophetic, we can miss the very things Pharisees and Sadducees did. We could miss the very thing that Jesus is speaking over our life right now. Right now. I'm born again. My life has been changed. The light of God is on my life. I believe that He is going to lead me into great, great things in this season ahead. In 3 months' time, I believe that my life is going to be changed because I heard the prophetic word of the Lord on a Sunday morning in February that was going to change my life. Well, who delivered that? Oh, it was Jeff Flynn. Oh, I don't know if I can receive that. Well, if it's the word of the Lord, I don't care if a donkey came in and gave you the word. You'd be wondering about that, but you'd probably not do it. Oh, it's a donkey that did it. You probably received more from a donkey than Jeff or Jake or Jim because the donkey did it. You see, there's a stirring in the Holy Ghost that God is saying, throughout the earth, revival is happening among the people. In Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Iran, places that you don't want to go. The fact is, it's happening. And the Muslim communities are being changed by the power of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a light that has been turned on in those places. And will we dare to believe and get involved in that? It's a scary thing to get involved with it, because you might be the next one called on to go some place like that. But you see, God doesn't call you like, you know, like from Gary, Minnesota, my hometown, 250 people. Call you from Gary to go to maybe Ada. You might make Ada your first shot. That's 19 miles away. But He's not going to call you to Africa. But many years later, you might be called to Africa. You know, you might be called to some place, and you know what? You're going to say, no problem. Why? Because of the maturity of the Rhema Word of God. After you went from your 5 year, you went into the ministry of the calling of God that you had established, because this is who I am, and this is what I want to do. Your jobs, praise God. I love to see people prosper. God said that you're going to prosper, so I believe His word. So I pray for people with jobs that they could be, you know. But you know what? Is that your calling? Might be your gifting, but what's your calling? What has God called you to do? You know, if He called you to prophesy, thank you, Mary, for getting up and prophesying. Pastor Jeff, I'm glad. Prophet Jeff, whatever they want to put on you. Hey, you, Jeff. He can go, I mean, he goes up to the churches up here in War Road and stuff like that. I mean, they think he's the best thing that happened since sliced bread, you know? I mean, the dude goes up there and prophesies and then, whoa, whoa. You know, they don't ask for me to come up there. They ask for Jeff to come up there because, you know, he's got the deal going. And that's fun. Because you can see that it's literally working. You know, Joan and Dan did not start the hop when they first met each other here at in Thief River Falls, and they were going to each other, let's start to hop. No, but many years later, there was a great plan that God had for them. Okay? Did it come with controversy? Did it come with persecution? Did it come with, whoa, what did I get myself into? Sure it did. That should happen to all of us. If your mother and dad that are not Christian, if they're agreeing with everything that you're doing right now, you're not telling them the truth. When I told my dad had passed, but when I told my mom and her she remarried, told them what I was into and how I'd changed, you know, I thought, boy, they'd be all excited. They were. And that's how that went. And same with the in-laws. It wasn't easy. It wasn't all in agreeable when you go against something that, and it wasn't bad or good, and I didn't attack their system, whatever that system was. I was in the system. But once I gave my life to Christ, I started telling people about Christ. And they did not like me prophesying about Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. Well, yeah, big deal. Yeah, but Jesus is my Lord. Well, yeah, big deal. Well, I'm not going to drink anymore. What? I'm not going to smoke anymore. What? Yeah, I'm not going to be an elder at the VFW anymore. What? And you started going into their existence, and they started going, what? And you see, you started the Word, and you started reading the Bible, and that was really crazy. You started reading the Bible, and you go, what? Is that true? Wow. It's true. Amen. And it's as true today, 38 years later, it's as true today as it was the first day that I believed. And the stirring is, if in 38 years, if I am not excited to go into the bigger and better picture of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I'm backslid. And that's crazy, because I should be able to retire now and not talk about Jesus all the time. But now I'm more zealous to talk about Jesus, to explain things about Jesus than I've ever felt like it. I said, man, I'm more inspired. I feel better about Jesus than I've ever felt before. Why should I quit now? Hallelujah. You know, I could see by the Spirit when Caleb and Joshua and these guys got 80 years old, they're like, well, now we got a little time on our hands. We're not working anymore. We're not fighting the enemy anymore. We're just leading the people. And, you know, Caleb got up and said, let me take the high country. Hey, let me take Liberia, Joseph. Come on. Oh, I don't know about Liberia. Yes, let's take Liberia. Let's go to the high country. You live in the United States now. But what about Liberia? Amen. Webster, what about Liberia? And your heart is towards Liberia, because that is your city. That is your country. And if it isn't, then if you don't love it, why save it? If you don't love it, why save it? And God's asking you, do you love yourself enough to say, I'm going to change every day of my life? I'm going to have the spirit of prophecy, and I'm going to give you that. In concluding, Revelation 19:10, it says, worship God, because what happened at this time, they started worshiping the disciples that were bringing the word, and it said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What's a testimony? Could Jesus testify? What would he say about himself? I'm doing a pretty good job. Oh, you're bragging. Yeah, somewhat on God. I'm bragging on God. Yeah, hey, that's my testimony. This is what Jesus was talking about. And just think about all of the, they said that you couldn't get enough volumes of books to write about all of the things that Jesus had accomplished on the earth. I don't even understand the hell deal. Going to hell, setting the captive free, raising the third day, having the total victory over every sin, every force of the enemy. I mean, I tell you what, our powers are not natural, carnal powers, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And I want to say, your words spoken out of your mouth by the rhema, that God lays on you will change your life, will change other people's life. You'll go about doing good deeds, and if you get good enough, they'll kill you. But there is resurrection. Amen? You know, the day and a half, 2 days that Jesus was in the tomb, it was a little disheartening. You could ask the disciples about that. A little disheartening, you know, Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, knowing that God, now he's dead. What do we do? Go hide out someplace? They had went to school under the Master, and what happened? Their lives were transformed. Go to the upper room, tarry until the Holy Spirit falls on you. You know what? The church really needs to know what the Holy Spirit's all about and what prophecy is all about, because the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit of prophecy. When we talk about Jesus, when we get up in the morning and my mind stayed on Jesus at noon, my mind stayed on Jesus at supper time, my mind stayed on Jesus when I lay down, I asked for dreams that keep my mind stayed on Jesus. You are a peculiar person, but you're a light in the world. Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Love you today. Yeah. I do feel like shouting, jumping, running on the back of the chairs, a little scary. I heard about people doing it. I don't know if I'm... Oh, watch out. Watch out, watch out. Father, we thank you. Let's lift our hands if you're not used to it, that's even better. Father, we thank you, Lord. We surrender to you. In surrendering to you, Lord, we believe that, God, you're doing a mighty, mighty work in our individual lives. When we leave this place, we will not be the same in Jesus' name. Let's say it together. When we leave this place, we will not be the same in Jesus' name. Now, we rehearse it now. Let's try it again. When we leave this place, okay, let's try it again. When we leave this place, I will not be the same in Jesus' name. Okay, now let's sing it. Jacob, I noticed something about Jacob. Never stutters when he sings. And so I'm going to do it. Jacob, we're going to do this. Hallelujah, I'm not going to be the same. I need to be changed, Jesus. My life depends on it. My life depends on the prophetic word that I heard this morning. Because if I can't hear it at a regular service, how am I ever going to hear it when I'm out in the battle? And that the prophet Isaiah spoke in February at the community church. Who was at your meeting today? Well, Isaiah showed up. The prophet, he prophesied to the ambassadors that they sent. We heard it. And we're going to set the captives free. First of all, Lord, I want us to love ourselves enough to do what you told us to do after graduation. Get into the job of the gospel. The good news that changes people's lives. We release that upon the people of God in this place. If one person would have grabbed it and said, I'm going to run with this thing, I'm going to be changed by the power of God. If that one person would do it, they'd run into another one, and they'd run into another one, and there was 12. And then Jesus poured his whole life into those 12, and those 12 turned the world upside down. As the gospel went forth, the light of the gospel. And all through the earth, the light of the gospel had been preached at that time. Today, Lord, I believe, God, there's something on the inside of us. If we're 105 or 5 days old, God, that we will have a testimony of Christ. As parents, we would testify to our kids. We would prophesy over our children. We'll speak the major things that Jesus Christ is taking over my children's life. And God, that they will succeed in everything But the needed thing is where you've been called in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. We release you now, Lord, upon each person. We give you the glory and the honor for it now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Anyone that needing prayer, right after the service, we'll be up here, or someone will be up here to pray for you.